Welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington on this live broadcast from Studio 14. Here are some of the top stories making news across Sudan and South Sudan this Friday, February 17, 2023. The head of South Sudan's Elections Commission says the preparations for the 2024 elections are behind schedule.
National Convention role is to choose who is going to be a flag bearer, who is going to be the chairman of the party.
And the UN Human Rights Commission says there is a looming violence in Upper Nile State.
Our financial sector landscape is characterized by a fragmented presence of banking services, which has greatly placed a considerable constraint on the private businesses and households.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The UN Human Rights Commission visiting South Sudan says parts of the country are sliding into what they call ethnic violence and urge the country's leaders to end attacks against civilians. The UN officials say armed young men are mobilizing for violence in Upper Nile State. For VOA News, Wake Simon Wudu has more from Juba.
Several party officials say despite little activity by the country's leaders, they are preparing for elections at the end of the transitional period as required by the revitalized peace agreement. Some officials say they are registering party members, mobilizing new members, and establishing offices in states. Atem Kuol, Secretary for Political Affairs of the SPLM, says his party has mobilized the members at the grassroots level.
We have gone down to the boomers and payams, reorganizing the members from boomer to payam, from payam to counties, then to the state. Then we are now preparing to conduct a national convention.
Kuol says the party will conduct a national convention this year to finalize internal arrangements before the elections.
National convention role is to choose who is going to be a flag bearer, who is going to be the chairman of the party. And at the same time, the chairman of the party, elected chairman, will be a flag bearer, who will contest for presidential seat.
We apologize for that mixed up in our tip. UN human rights experts visiting South Sudan says parts of the country are sliding into ethnic violence and urge the country's leaders to end attacks against civilians. Their officials say armed young men are mobilizing for violence in Upper Nile State. For VOA News, Simon Wudu reports from Juba.
Benny Afeko and Andrew Clapham, officials with the UN's Commission on Human Rights in South Sudan, wrapped up a five-day tour of South Sudan today. It marks their 11th visit to the country. The experts told the reporters in Juba today the commission documented several human rights abuses in South Sudan over the last 6 years, and many of the abuses continue today. Clapham says it's shocking how many cases of rape, killing, and displacement of vulnerable citizens the officials have documented. He says people are being forced to hide in waters and buses, fearing for their lives after the country signed a peace deal nearly 5 years ago.
The politicization of ethnicity and displacement is alarming, and we are concerned about the possibilities of further violence in these areas.
Clapham says the UN Human Rights Commission on South Sudan has established evidence showing that in the recent past, militias acting on government orders systematically rounded up women and girls, forced them to carry stolen food to Koch County of Unity State, and then raped them for days.
These are serious crimes under South Sudan's laws, as well as under international law. Yet nobody has been held accountable, and the government officials remain in office. One of them has actually a track record of overseeing similar human rights violations in the same area less than 10 years ago. But for some reason, the government saw it fit to reappoint him.
Clapham says while there is a little effort by the government to prosecute some officers involved in the heinous human rights abuses, no senior military officers are being held accountable on the atrocities committed. AFECO says there is an active channel of supply of firearms to some of the communities by some influential leaders in the government.
We're finding increasingly that there is a linkage between political competition at the center and the instigation of violence on the peripheries. And in some cases, we're seeing that the state is not acting swiftly enough to intervene when these so-called militias and other groups are carrying out attacks. And we're urging them to be vigilant in intervening.
AFECO says the suffering across the country remains immense, and women and girls in particular continue to face unspeakable sexual violence. He says it's time for the country's political leadership to reorient their priorities and work together to put an end to violence and protect the rights of South Sudanese. Martin Elia Lomuro, the South Sudan Cabinet Affairs Minister, asserts that AFECO and Clapham do not know his country.
These are people who don't know South Sudan. This country is being built anew. This country has gone through a very long period of war where the enemy used proxies to fight its guerrilla war. And therefore, you have civilians who are highly armed, okay? We cannot deny that. And these civilians, to disarm them, we are waiting to graduate and arm the new national force so that they have the power to disarm civilians.
Lomuro also denies that preparations are underway for violence in parts of Upper Nile State and allegations that the government is not holding accountable military officers accused of rights abuses.
We know that there are a lot of militias who are armed, and we know the Great Gang Group, we know the Agolek, we know all of this are happening, and we know where they are. We also know of civilians in Jungle area who are armed, and we have not started the process of disarming. Not that there is going to be a war.
AFECO and Clapham say the persistence of impunity across the country continues to propel the continuation of deadly violence. The UN officials say they will continue to maintain a list of South Sudanese leaders of interest who may be criminally liable for human rights violations committed in the country. They say the abuses may constitute serious human rights violations that may be shared with South Sudan's hybrid court, which is yet to be established. For VOA News, I'm Wake Simon Udu in Juba.
South Sudan's central bank says less than 10% of South Sudanese have bank accounts. The bank says majority of South Sudanese prefer to keep their money at home. One resident of Juba town says he has no confidence in the country's banks. For VOA News, Manyang David Mayar reports from Juba.
Sean Andrea, director of banking supervision at the Bank of South Sudan, says only 8% of South Sudan's estimated 12 million people own a bank account, which is the lowest in the region. Andrea says only a few South Sudanese own bank accounts, partly because of a lack of banking institutions in the country.
Our financial sector landscape is characterized by a fragmented presence of banking services, which has greatly placed a considerable constraint on the private businesses and household. The Bank of South Sudan has been in forefront, championing the financial inclusion as a key policy direction with an aim to achieve banking penetration and account ownership.
Many South Sudanese say, aside from not trusting banks, the money they earn is too low to warrant opening a bank account. 26-year-old South Sudanese Juba resident Taban Makwe, a motorcycle driver commonly known as Boda Boda in Juba, says he finds keeping his money in a bank time-consuming and worries he may not be able to withdraw his money when he wants it.
I don't know procedures. No, what is the benefit? You have your money in bank account. Of course, it may delay. If bank it is in Konya Konya and I'm here in Shirkat, that will require some little bit money so that to for me to go there and come back. But when I hired to shopman, whom we are closer with him or her, and then I can go on time to go on a house and take the amount that I want.
Makwe says he prefers to save his money with someone he knows and trusts. He says he earns up to 10,000 South Sudanese pounds a day and prefers to keep his money in a shop near his residence. Juba resident Sadia Opio says she lives hand to mouth and therefore has no money to put in a bank. She says, these days people come and deceive us. It is better for us to eat our money. For us who are older like this, I eat mine to the mouth, only to the mouth. Andrea says the Bank of South Sudan aims to achieve banking penetration and account ownership of more than 65% of South Sudanese citizens over the next 5 years.
Our policy direction is to ensure that the commercial banks and other financial institutions are encouraged to make their presence, and they are also encouraged to take services where they are mostly needed, be it within the urban areas or even in the rural areas. And we'll do our role to support them in this process.
Andrea says the Bank of South Sudan is reviewing legislation to increase citizens' access to banks.
We have embarked on a lot of things, including revisiting some of our laws that are governing the economic sector. Currently, there is an ongoing process where the central bank is amending some key legislations, including the Bank of South Sudan Act and Banking Act. These are important legal frameworks that govern how the financial sector is managed in the country. We are in the process of amending them, and this is going to open up and allow the financial sector in South Sudan to grow.
About 72% of South Sudan's population is under the age of 30, according to the United Nations. That means the bulk of its population is one of the youngest in the world. There is no accurate recent statistics provided by the government, but South Sudan's jobless rate is among the highest in Africa. Its youth face severe livelihood challenges due to limited economic opportunities. For VOA News, I'm Anyang David Mayor in Juba.
Some South Sudanese lawmakers and officials are calling on the country's leaders to speed up preparations for holding elections next year. The head of the National Elections Commission says the government is yet to put in place legal structure for conducting elections. For VOA News, Wake Simon Wudu reports from Juba.
Several party officials say despite little activity by the country's leaders, they are preparing for elections at the end of the transitional period as required by the revitalized peace agreement. Some officials say they are registering party members, mobilizing new members, and establishing offices in states. Atem Kwal, Secretary for Political Affairs of the SPLM, says his party has mobilized the members at the grassroots level.
We have gone down to the Bumas and Payams, reorganizing the members from Buma to Payam, from Payam to counties, then to the state. Then we are now preparing to conduct a national convention.
Kwal says the party will conduct a national convention this year to finalize internal arrangements before the elections.
National convention role is to choose who is going to be a flag bearer, who is going to be the chairman of the party. And at the same time, the chairman of the party, elected chairman, will be a flag bearer, who will contest for presidential seat.
Wilson Lodion, vice president of the African National Congress, says his party is as well into preparations for next year's elections.
We are mobilizing our members and opening offices in the state, and establishing our state offices and making recruitment for any eventuality that in case there's election, then we go for election.
Lodion says insecurity hinders efforts to mobilize and establish offices in some locations. He says the mistrust that still exists between some of the parties should be addressed to create a conducive environment for holding elections.
We are not seeing even the unified forces that can be unifying and conducive in Thomas elections. Up to now, the army are fragmented, and we don't know which one is which. So this is our fear, that should election happen within this time frame and the army are not unified, then the results of the election will be one-sided.
Abednego Akok-Kachual, chairperson of the South Sudan National Elections Commission, says lack of legal framework has slowed his agency's work.
This transitional period will end by 22nd of this month, and then we will be going on with the other 2 years remaining. I would really recommend them to say the election act should be passed very quickly, and then the formation of the election commission should be done. And from there, the commission will begin preparing the elections.
In August last year, President Salva Kiir administration announced the extension of the transitional government's time in office for another 2 years. Akok is urging political parties to present a program for conducting elections now scheduled to take place in December 2024.
It is a matter of making a timetable. We have already constituencies which are existing in the country, and then we have the last census, and then we have the election commission, which is with structure now. It is only two things, resources to be available, and then, as I told you before, the political will.
The peace agreement requires leaders to amend the Elections Act ahead of the elections. Akok and John Aganye, spokesperson for the National Legislative Assembly, told the VOA on Thursday the elections bill has yet to reach Parliament for ratification. Without parliamentary approval, elections cannot proceed. Akok and Aganye say the bill is still tied up with the Council of Ministers. For VOA News, I'm Wake Simon Wudu in Juba.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, some activists from Eastern Sudan want change in their country. Find out why after the break. A group of political, civil society and traditional leaders from Eastern Sudan are calling for the formation of a civilian-led government in Sudan that could look into grievances of the people from Eastern Sudan. The call came at the end of a conference held in Khartoum. Michael Atit reports for VOA from the Sudanese capital, Khartoum.
The four-day conference wrapped up in the Sudanese capital Khartoum Wednesday evening after a lengthy discussion on restoring political stability, security and sustainable development in Eastern Sudan. Participants also explored opportunities to reach a broad consensus between the various entities and organizations in Eastern Sudan. Some conference goers said government policy has often been used against the people of Eastern Sudan despite being rich in natural and environmental resources. They said Eastern Sudan continues to suffer from instability and security threats, widespread poverty and successive famines. Speaking to reporters minutes after the final ceremony, Mariam Sadiq al-Mahdi, a leader of the Umma National Party, says conference resolutions should be regarded as the basis for a development program in Eastern Sudan.
It is a strategic location with vast natural resources, including renewable and non-renewable wealth. For years, Eastern Sudan has been a point of ambitions for many internal and external forces. Particularly during the past 30 years, there has been a lot of exploitation of the resources in the area.
The Juba Peace Agreement signed in October 2020 stipulates in its Eastern Track Protocol that development projects and investment should be encouraged in the area. A group from the Bija community of Eastern Sudan rejected the track and called for its suspension, saying the people who signed the agreement do not represent the people of Eastern Sudan. Al-Mahdi says the people of Eastern Sudan should be allowed to speak for themselves.
It
is time for us to allow the people of Eastern Sudan to speak out and say what they want. It is time for political and civil activists and the military alike to stop the claim of speaking on behalf of the people of Eastern Sudan.
He's speaking to South Sudan in Focus from Kassala town of Eastern Sudan via a messaging application Thursday. Abdullah Obshar, a spokesperson of the Bija High Council, distanced the council from the Khartoum conference.
These resolutions will not address any issue in Eastern Sudan. All signatories to the political framework agreement, the military, and the trilateral mechanism should know that our graveness at the moment is to suspend the Eastern track and create a new environment for a political process in Sudan.
The Bija High Council had earlier demanded it be included in any discussion on the people of Eastern Sudan and called for a new negotiations with the government on issues related to development in the area. Obshar says the council will only participate in dialogue if the Eastern track of the Juba Peace Agreement is called off.
The Eastern track is the main cause of the recent crisis in Eastern Sudan. Therefore, we request for a new and inclusive negotiation forum.
In December 2021, South Sudan's chief negotiator in the Juba peace talks, Tut Gatluak, announced the suspension of the Eastern track. Gatluak said, upon reviewing the agreement with all signatories, they found the Eastern track had not been implemented due to concerns raised by the Bija community. Participants in this week's conference emphasized the rights of victims and the family members of victims of gross human rights violations perpetrated by government forces and military leaders in Eastern Sudan. They said those rights must be recognized and perpetrators of past crimes must be brought to justice. Michael Atit for VOA News, Khartoum.
We love to hear your remarks on issues in this broadcast. My colleague Nabil Biagio is ready with this week's listener comments. Over to you, Nabil.
Thank you, John. We start with these recorded messages.
Hello, Nabil Biagio and John Tanza. This is Mabura Lenrengu, Nirumbe, Glade State. As the world celebrated World Radio Day on Monday, 13th, February 2023, I would like to give appreciations to all the citizens and all the journalists working on the radios across the country, mostly the Maraya journalists, the like of Sabir William, Sabir Abdu, Joji Buhara, Joseph Gabriel Chedar, and Morawai Zavnokomo. These journalists have been working with Radio Maraya and they give a lot of services to the citizens across the country. I'm also giving appreciation to BOA radio news journalists, the likes of John Tanza and Bill Biagio, and all the correspondents of BOA across the country. You played a great role in radio service.
My colleague Jet Michael from Bortown, Jamhuri State, South Sudan. This week actually was disheartened by the news of a man who collapsed on the street, on one of the streets of Juba, due to hunger. And actually what made me more disappointed to the response of Honorable Michael McQuay, the Minister of Information, the response he gave was actually very cold. He wasn't actually, he did not feel, feel actually sorry. He did not actually feel the pain of the man who happened to be a government servant, you know.
Hello, Nabil and John Tanza. This is Jacob Dio from Yero Lake State. It is a privilege to have this time with you and the listener across the country. I am very happy for the International Women's Conference that was held in Juba last week. It is a privilege that our women got an opportunity to interact with different women across the continent and beyond. It was a great initiative to bring different women from conflict or from free countries with experiences of women equality. We believe in women's empowerment, and may this initiative continue to shape our women. Long live Mama Angelina Tay, long live Mama Rebecca Nyande, long live all the women who have this country at heart. We are privileged that this initiative will continue to shape our women. Thank you.
Mal Adaw Mal at Modern Institute of Science and Technology in Juba says, "Hello, John and Nabil. Please allow me to congratulate all journalists around the world and especially VOA Radio for their unique service. You guys feed us with credible news and information more than the government. Congratulations upon your day and thanks." James Roy Majok in Bantu Town writes, "Hi, Nabil Biagio and John Tanza. Happy World Radio Day. My favorite radio stations I always like to listen to are as follows: VOA South Sudan in Focus, Straight Talk Africa, Nightline Africa, BBC Focus in Africa, BBC News Day, Radio Mariah FM, Radio Tamazuch, iRadio FM. My thanks especially goes to VOA journalists John Tanza, Nabil Biagio, Peter Cloti, James Batty, Jackson Vuganyi, plus other journalists I didn't mention their names." Thomas Kuntoj in Old Fangak Payam of Jungle Estate says, "Hello, VOA South Sudan in Focus. World Radio Day is a meaningful event to all citizens of South Sudan, especially the Fangak County citizens in particular. Fangak County has no means of getting news or communications except through radio. It is the best source of information because 79 counties of South Sudan have mobile network, but here we don't. We rely on radio news. Millions of thanks to VOA South Sudan in Focus, Mazuj Radio, Miraya Radio, and BBC Focus in Africa." Tong Chun Yong Kwai Both from Juba, South Sudan writes, "Happy World Radio Day to all VOA staff around the world, and my special thanks goes to John Tanza and Nabil." Tamayo David from Yambio says, "Good evening, John Tanza and Nabil. Much thanks goes to all the journalists across South Sudan. I am a regular caller of the station. Radio is the first place I get my information. My message to the journalists is that they should keep giving information because the locals get information through radio." Baboya Francis Wani from Yei River County writes, "As a teacher, I am pleased with the step taken by the National Minister of Education and Instruction for giving the primary 8 examinations this week. However, I will encourage the Examination Council of South Sudan to hire more markers such as their results won't delay like those of 2021, which have made the seniors attend lessons for only 2 terms, which won't be enough to cover all the topics of the respective subjects in the encounter of senior 1. Sabar Aiza Khamis in Yambio of Western Equatoria State says, "Hi Nabil, prerequisites need to be in place like having permanent constitution, electoral law, census and constitutional making. Without these in place, citizens can doubt any election results. That is why it is very important for the government of South Sudan to calculate the progress very well by implementing key provisions in the agreement. Otherwise, failure to do so means this country can slide back into conflict. Let our government remember the lives of the innocent." And finally, Samuel Remo Inye says, "Hi, John Tanza and Nabil Biagio. The long delay on constitution making has become a threat to indigenous people of South Sudan. The constitution is a set of conventions, human values and virtues put together by society for the common good of the same society. The opinions expressed here do not reflect the views of VOA or of this program. We appreciate you taking the time to share your thoughts. Keep those comments coming."
And I will say, keep your text messages and voice messages brief, and we shall sample them every Friday. Our WhatsApp number is +1 202 630 8011. That's all we prepared for you this Friday. We now leave you with the song Saida by JJD Muzika. I'm your host, John Tanza, on this live broadcast from Studio 14 here in Washington. Don't forget to visit VOA Africa for all your favorite programs and news updates. If you miss this program, go to www.voaafrica.com/South Sudan. Thanks for taking time to be with us. Remember to join us next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Sol bira fi mo Maria asal biri za fi bebe.